Good to see you here this morning as we continue our series called out from Revelation chapters 1 through 3. And last week, if you were here, we set a foundation by doing an overview of Revelation chapter 1, where we learned that King Jesus was calling John to communicate some encouraging and yet prophetically stern messages to the seven churches of Asia Minor. We find those messages in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. At this time, and even a little bit before the writing of Revelation, the Roman Empire was demanding allegiance. And the pressing question for the early church was, would they compromise their faith? Specifically, will these churches in Asia Minor be faithful witnesses of Jesus and for Jesus by refraining from participation in the cultural norms that were surrounding them socially, economically, politically, and of course spiritually? These assemblies of believers were participating in a struggle, even a spiritual war, the war of the Lamb. The Lamb was there with them as their shepherd, as their king. So they were not alone in this struggle. King Jesus was calling them out, though, calling them out for renewed devotion and commitment. Because you see, they would be victorious in this war, not by wielding swords, but by following Jesus in uncivil worship and uncivil faithful witness to the world. So then, if with John we know Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth, and we know him as the one who has freed us and loved us out of our sins by the blood of the Lamb, then our primary identity must be rooted in the kingdom of God. And we share that identity, we share that devotion and commitment with every tribe and every nation. So on the flip side of that, we will not be rooted as Christians, as disciples of King Jesus. We will not be rooted in a national or political body constructed by human beings and their party lines. No, our allegiance will be to King Jesus in every aspect of our lives. Every aspect. Why is that? Why should that be? Out of gratitude for our costly redemption and acknowledgement that we have been made a part. We have been made a part of a very real political body, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, whose king is Christ Jesus. That's our calling. But it was also the calling of these seven churches as well. And Jesus comes into their midst, every one of the body of believers. He walks into their midst. He evaluates their faithfulness. And then, through an angel, he has a message to deliver to John, for John to write and to give to the churches. And so today, we're going to consider Jesus' message for the church in Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2. If you have your Bible or Bible app, join me in Revelation chapter 2. We're going to read about this church in Thyatira. What's interesting is Thyatira is the smallest city that Jesus is going to address, but he has the longest message for them. Remember with me, just for a moment, the last time that you went to the doctor. Now, some of you, like me, have been putting that off for a while. Probably need to make that appointment. But for some of you, it's recent or maybe a few months ago, whatever it might be. Remember the last time that you went. Now, my description of going to the doctor is something like this. We pay them a lot of money to insult us. Is this your experience? I mean, something like this. Mr. Hobbs, come right over here. Let's get you on the scale. Let's weigh you. According to my records, you've gained a little bit of weight there. I mean, it's like a gentle nudge, a gentle punch to the gut, right? It's not outlandish. Well, come on, let's check your blood pressure. A little high this time. Maybe it's what you're eating. okay, thank you. But overall, right, you go and they're evaluating your health. That's a good thing. They're evaluating your health. You get this full body physical and hopefully some helpful advice or instructions on how to better your condition. And what we find in Revelation 2 is the church at Thyatira is undergoing a spiritual physical of sorts, if you will, to determine their health as a church. And who better to give that spiritual examination than the great physician, Jesus Christ. So my goal is for us to reflect on the four qualities that Jesus went looking for at Thyatira, and he actually found them. He recognizes, he sees the Christians at Thyatira. He sees their love, he sees their faith, he sees their service, and he sees their perseverance. And these four Christ-like qualities are a framework, if you will, for a healthy church. And so I want to use them as a measuring tool for us at Alta Mesa and for us individually as Christians. So follow along with me, starting in verse 19. Jesus says, "I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first." And so that first word that Jesus uses to describe the church at Thyatira is love. Love is the attribute. In any list where Christ-like qualities are being listed, seems to be first, right? You think about the list that we have of attributes, and if love is mentioned, then it's always first because it's of utmost importance. Any body of believers should be radiating the love of Christ. And so when Jesus checks the health of his congregations, he checks for the heartbeat. And when you go to the doctor, you usually see them put one of these around their neck, right? Trusty old stethoscope. And they put this in their ears, right? And then they put this just under your heart and they check for what? Your heartbeat, right? The heartbeat of the church. What is it? It's love. Love for God, love for one another. Jesus says, "They will know you're my disciples if you love one another." It's the heartbeat of any church. And where love is absent or where love is short, it's of shortage, well then, I think the lampstand is being threatened. Jesus says, "I'll take your lampstand away" in these messages. And if love is not present, if it's not radiating from the body, then there's a problem. There's a health problem. When you go to the doctor, they'll use the stethoscope and they'll check your heartbeat and they'll say something like, maybe, "Man, Mr. Hobbs, your heartbeat sounds pretty healthy, but it's beating a little quickly." Or my wife, Tara, she has an irregular heartbeat condition, and they'll notice that, right? They'll notice that condition. And you say something like, "Thanks, doc, that's why I pay you the big bucks. I knew that already." But in all seriousness, how's the heartbeat of our church? Is it irregular? Is it normal? Is it radiating? Is it healthy? A few years ago, there was an extensive study done by the Barna Research Group, and they surveyed people born between the years of 1967 and 2002, and 87% of the people surveyed were asked this question: what word would best describe Christians? What word would best describe Christians? And based on what we just talked about, you would hope that the word would be love. But the word they chose was judgmental. Judgmental. And from my experience, what they typically mean is quick judgments without context. Christians can come across as we know it all, or we're better than you, or we put people in categories or stereotype boxes, right? And that's for better or worse, right or wrong, that's the perception that a lot of people have of disciples of Jesus. In September of 2013, it was late at night. Jonathan Farrell was in a horrific car accident. His car was mangled, but he was able to escape the car. And he was flustered, of course, but he was looking for help. He saw a house nearby, and he went to it, and he was frantic. And he was knocking frantically on the door, asking for help. And the woman who was home saw the man knocking on her door, remember, late at night, and she thought, this is a dangerous situation. And so, in fear, she called the police. The police showed up, thinking they were responding to a breaking and entering call. And when Farrell saw the police, he quickly was walking and then even turned into a run toward the police, seeking their help. And of course, the officers, again, remember, thinking they're responding to a breaking entering call. They see Mr. Farrell coming toward them, and they're thinking he's trying to escape a crime scene. So one officer, in his frantic moment, is asking Mr. Farrell to stop. He pulls out his taser. It malfunctions. It doesn't work. And out of response, the other officer pulls his gun and fires at Mr. Farrell, fatally shooting him. What a tragic story. And as I read that story a few years ago, and I was recalled of this story as I was getting ready for this message, I thought, how often does this happen at church? How often do people in their brokenness in time of need run to church seeking help, but instead of finding help, they get shot down? Now, listen, we cannot help every person with every single need that comes our way. Trust me, I understand that. But in every situation, every person that you come across, I believe there's a reason for that. As a disciple, there's purpose in coming into personal contact with someone. And in every situation, no matter what that situation is, love should radiate from our being. And we will make mistakes along the way. And it's hard, even messy, especially with people who don't look like us, who don't believe like you do, who don't live like you do. It can be hard and difficult, even messy, and we'll make mistakes. But if our pursuit is to love the way that Jesus has loved us, then we will radiate love in those situations. We will welcome people and walk with them toward Jesus. And so one of the greatest ways I know for our church to love is to receive people in their moment of need, not reject them, not judge them, but to patiently in love walk with them toward Jesus, who, by the way, He alone is the one who can redeem and restore and make all things new. So if Jesus were to come in among us and evaluate our faithfulness and check our heartbeat, would He find love? So the church in Thyatira is complimented by Jesus for their love, and then He also points out their faith. The Apostle Paul in Romans 10, verse 17, writes these words, "Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message from the Word of God." So if you think about a heartbeat and a stethoscope when you go to the doctor, when you think about a hearing test, maybe you've seen the otoscope used in your ear, right? There's a little cool light at the end of it, and then they put it in your ear, and they look through the scope. And they go, "Oh, when's the last time you cleaned your ears, Micah? That's kind of gross." "Thanks, Doc. Here's $100. Appreciate that." When you get a hearing test, what are they looking for? They're looking for swelling, maybe blockage. If you're complaining of an ache, they're looking for those things. And Maybe another step is if your hearing doesn't seem as strong as it has been, they may play tones in your ears to see which ones you can hear. The point is this: Jesus was concerned about what the church at Thyatira and the Christians there, what they were hearing, what they were listening to. Listen to Revelation 2, starting in verse 20. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I've given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her people dead." Pretty stern words, right? So what's going on here? That Jesus is condemning Thyatira for the voices that they are choosing to listen to and the information then that is flooding their souls and their minds and their hearts, and it's influencing them. The gospel is not being lived out in their lives. Did you pick up on the excessive immorality among them that Jesus points out? And this all seems to be a result of giving their ear to false teachings. And so this reference to the Old Testament and Jezebel may be representing a specific false teacher among them, or it could be representing all false teaching among them. But what Jesus' intention is here is to warn his people about listening to and as a result living according to anything other than God's word and will for their lives. And so for us today, we must take careful steps. We must take careful consideration to be certain that we are healthy, that we are listening to, that we are hearing what God would want us to hear. I believe one of our greatest challenges is we're surrounded by all kinds of voices that are just rallying for our attention, right? Do you feel that? Do you sense that in our culture? There, I mean, and this has been true. This is nothing new under the sun, right? As the wise sage would say in Ecclesiastes. There are people specifically trained to get our attention. Did you know that? I mean, education. They're educated to know how to get your attention, to get your ear bended their way. And they have an explicit message. Just like you and I should be equipped and empowered with a specific message. It's the gospel message. And so perhaps we should take some time to ask, if that is true, if that's what's going on among us, then what are we listening to? What are we giving our ear to? Specifically for this context, who is the Jezebel in your life? Who's the Jezebel in your life? And when I'm hearing things that maybe are tearing my faith down or stunting the growth of my faith, I need to pay attention to that. And for some of us, Jezebel, I'm just going to be real for a second, Jezebel is a talk show host or a political figure or someone new that you're dating. And you see the warning signs, but you're thinking that you can change them. Maybe Jezebel is a friend who continues to whisper things in your ear that are not true. Perhaps Jezebel, though, is someone you've never met before in your life. Maybe it's a musical artist or a popular celebrity or an athlete or a popular writer. The question is, who are you giving your ear to? Who are you listening to? Who's influencing your heart and your mind and your soul? Because in order for us to be healthy disciples, in order for us to be a healthy church, we need to be consistently and sometimes moment by moment, day by day, giving an ear to what God has to say. And that's what Jesus is trying to call the church at Thyatira back to. Repent, turn back to God, give your ear to the Lord. Here's the deal, church. If we cannot hear what God has to say to us individually as a church, it's not because God is not speaking. It's because we're not listening. So the church in Thyatira is complimented by Jesus for their love, for their faith, and now also their service. And as I mentioned earlier, we often go to the doctor to pay good money to get insulted. But sometimes we get good advice too, right? If we're listening, it's usually unsolicited advice, right? The comment after the weight comment, "Oh, it looks like you've gained some weight," sometimes could be followed by, "Maybe you should start exercising." That's why I pay you the big bucks right there. I have not thought of that, right? But the good advice that they typically give you at the doctor is something to motivate you, inspire you. And recently, this isn't new, but they'll encourage you to get a pedometer, right? Maybe sometimes on your watch, or if you have a smartphone, there's a pedometer in your health app, right? And it'll tell you how many steps you've taken. I'm not doing so good, only 716 today so far. Okay, I didn't do my morning walk. Maybe I should do some exercise. But the pedometer tells us how far we've gone. It encourages us to exercise, to go further, to do more. And so I believe this is a decent picture spiritually for us here. Our love and our faith can be exercised through acts of service. So when we intentionally choose to live compassionately, when we choose to serve others, our love and our faith actually grow. And so think about it like that. Think about bench pressing, right? And your weights are love and faith, and the bar is service, and you're serving. And as you serve, you're able to add some more weight. Your love and your faith grow, and you're able to pump more love and faith through your veins. You're able to radiate more love and faith as you serve others. I really believe this is true. So if a servometer were a thing, what would your servometer say about you? What would it reveal about your spiritual walk with the Lord? What about as a church? If we had a servometer out in the gathering room, or if the Lord were to come in among us and say, "Hey, here's what I see in your service to others," what would he say? The good news is this time of year, we always do a ministry expo, and just real quickly, we're going to be talking about this over the next three Sundays. Out in the gathering room, you may remember all of our ministries, most of our ministries, will have a display set up, and the intent for that is for you to be aware of what's going on in our ministry, inside the church and outside the church, but also not just to be aware, but to get plugged in, to be involved in the work of the Lord in this place, on this corner. Listen, you're going to hear me say this over and over and over again. This is something that we believe, something that we're leaning into, and you can join us in prayer. We don't want just this small piece of this corner on Alta Mesa and Hewlin to be for God and His kingdom. We want to overwhelm this corner with the kingdom of God for His glory and our joy. Amen? We want to overwhelm this corner of our city for the kingdom of God. And there are things that are happening in this place and among us and around us. God is moving and He is active. And we want you to be a part of it. And so beginning next week, we want you to take the time to either recommit to the ministry that you're a part of or to get involved, maybe for the first time. And if so, that's wonderful. But here's the thing about service. Service is not about us earning our way to heaven. It's not about our personal fulfillment. It's not about pleasing others or getting applause from other people. That's not what service is about. Service is a response to the redemptive work of God in our lives for the betterment of others. I'm going to say that one more time. Service is a response to the redemptive work of God in our lives for the betterment of others. And so service is not even about us. It's actually one of the best ways to get outside of ourselves so that we can radiate love and faith to the world. So Jesus compliments Thyatira for their love, for their faith, for their service, and then last, for their perseverance. Now, sometimes we go to the doctor and we receive a stress test. Anybody had to do one of those stress tests? I hear it's just fantastic. I've never had to do one, but they've moved to these electronic patches. They look something like this. Thank you, Aaron Tungate, for bringing some of these to me. So they'll use these and they'll place them, you know, on your front chest and maybe even on your back, and then they work you out. And they put intentionally a lot of stress on your body to see how you will respond. There were some in the church at Thyatira who had given their ear over to Jezebel. That is true. But there were others who, under immense spiritual pressure, did not do so. And Jesus points them out, starting in verse 24. He says, "Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come." Is there a message of hope in there for you this morning? For those of you who are experiencing pain or suffering, Jesus says, hold on. Hold on until I come. And for the rest of us, maybe life is just kind of normal right now, whatever that is. Maybe it's just kind of calm, and that's wonderful. But when the storm of life comes, and it will, Jesus says, hold on. And then the message closes. The message to this church closes with a motivational promise. Why should we persevere? Why should we hold on and overcome the pains and stresses of this life? Because we are sons and daughters of King Jesus. And one day, Jesus is telling the church at Thyatira, when the kingdom of God comes with all of its fullness, when Jesus comes back and the Father and the Spirit, the triune God, and all of their glory come back, we will be given authority as the people of God. As the children of God, we will be given authority by God. Not power to manipulate or punish other people, but authority to reign over all things in a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of love, and of light forever and ever. That is the eternal reality that begins now. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So the questions are yours this morning. How's your heart? How's your hearing? How's your spiritual service? And how's your endurance? Are you holding on? If you're holding on by a thread, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so if you need the Lord this morning, if he's come to you and he's evaluated you this morning and kind of pierced your heart to come to him, would you do that this morning? Allow one of our shepherds or ministers to pray with you before you go. If you need to respond to the Lord in any way, do it during this song. Let's stand and sing together.